The reason why incidents like this are incredibly significant in an enduring way, because it shapes how people who don't pay much attention to politics regularly really think about the world.
And you think you were evaluating a manhunt that was playing out in front of them in a political room?
Absolutely. I mean, it's inherently the case, because when somebody does something like detonates two bombs, one of which is placed behind an 8-year-old child, which it kills, and then tears off the limbs of dozens of other people, none of whom are known to the perpetrators, the question naturally arises, why would any human being engage in that behavior? And generally, when the person is a white Christian or a white American, there's an attempt instantly to assure everybody that it's simply kind of a one-off, that it doesn't have a political content, that the person is mentally ill, that they're a lone actor, that they just snap, is usually the jargon, to assure everybody that there's no political conclusions that ought to be drawn. When the person, though, is Muslim, everything reverses. So there's no consideration to the possibility that they were mentally ill, that they simply snapped, that they were being driven by political considerations of alienation or frustration about things in their lives. Instead, there's an assumption that this bolsters the idea that we face this grave and potentially even existential threat from radical Muslims against whom we've been fighting this decade-long war, and it really bolsters the premises of that war by ratcheting up the fear levels and by reaffirming the political convictions in which it's grounded.
If you want to learn how to play anything you want to play and not learn how to make songs yourself, say you take your guitar and you go where a road crosses that way.
I'm the information. Cocaine powder.
If you try. If you try.
Yeah. I'm playing a piece and say a big black man. Say that's the way I learned how to play anything I want. And I could. Now you told me.
If you try.
Play anything, don't care what.
Thank you. held by Shakira Rao. And he did what he should have done, so why call him a hero for that?
Detroit. And you have Alaki, you know, the smoke that sort of exists around the story of Nick Al-Hassan and the Fort Hood shooting and his role with Inspire, the AQAP, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula magazine. And you look at sort of the way that this has played out. Basically what's happened is that the Obama administration is saying to the American people, we have this intelligence on this guy, but we're not going to publicly state what it is. And we're not going to seek an indictment against him in court, but we want to sentence him to death. And we believe that this is perfectly lawful. And when Awlaki's family, before he was killed, tried to challenge the government's right to assassinate a U.S. citizen without giving him any access to due process.
I think in the case of Bradley Manning, he's vindicated right now, and he's a hero right now. Doesn't have to wait for that. And certainly in my own heart, he is a hero. And he did what he should have done, so why call him a hero for that? And he did what another in his position, knowing what he knew, should have done, in my opinion. Whatever he had done, whatever his motives, his criminal pre-trial confinement amounting to torture, or if you like, or measured words and UN rapporteur, inhumane, indecent, and humiliating treatment, equally illegal as torture under Geneva Convention and our own domestic law. And when it comes to the future, I think he deserves, for example, a statue in Tahrir Square or the equivalent of it in Tunisia.
Hey, this is the Furious George Show. It's WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carboro. Low power, micro powered radio. And it's taking over here with some Hoda SA in the background, some crazy new stuff I've found recently. And also spotlighting just craziness relating to Obama's war on whistleblowers and our crazy, mad, insane reaction to the insanity in Boston, which was a reaction to the insanity in Iraq, which is a reaction to sanity in 9/11, blah, blah, blah. On and on and on. Stop the insanity. Here, we're going to get furious about it. Have fun at the same time. Maybe have some other crazy clips. Stick around. If you want to learn more about the Furious G Show, go to furiousg.blogspot.com. And check out the long threads about the war in Iraq. I think one of our dear listeners out there reminded me that this is the 10-year anniversary of the Mission Accomplished banner drop. So, thanks for listening. And we'll try not to fail to entertain. I'm furious!
Stopping terrorism have actually done more to exacerbate that threat and to render us unsafe than any other single cause.
At the end of the day, right, when you make a decision like this, if you're not prepared to have the worst happen, then
and in Egypt, two countries, tyrannies, two countries that were relieved from tyranny, in which he played a crucial role.
More media news coming in from Fox News and their chief host, Bill O'Reilly. On Monday night, he and journalist Juan Williams agreed that Fox News is the only network that questions President Obama.
Comes to you from the Government Weather Bureau. We take you now to the Meridian Room in the Hotel Park Plaza in downtown New York, where you will be entertained by the music of Raymond Rossello and his orchestra.
Strong. solutions, if not neither one.
I said, this needs to be fixed.
I thought about various investigative reporters that I would try and contact.
Once I put the phone down, I was pretty confident that my life would never be quite the same.
I mean, at the end of the day, right, when you make a decision like this, if you're not prepared to have the worst happen, then really don't do it at all.
These people face a terrifying situation.
Thomas Drake accused of leaking classified information. Agents raiding his home in Howard
18.
County.
Doesn't look very much like a meteor, at least not the meteors I've seen. It looks more like a huge cylinder. Has a diameter of, what would you say, Professor Pearson?
What's that?
What would you say, what's the diameter of this?
About 30 yards.
About 30 yards. The metal on the sheath is, well, I've never seen anything like it. The color is sort of yellowish-white. The curious spectators now are pressing close to the object in spite of the efforts of the police to keep them back. Getting in front of my line of vision. Would you mind standing one side, please, while the police are pushing the crowd back? Here's Mr. Wilmot, owner of the barn here. He may have some interesting facts to add. Mr. Wilmot, would you please tell the radio audience as much as you remember of this rather unusual visitor that stopped in your backyard? Step closer, please. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Wilson.
I just listen to the radio. I was listening to the radio and kind of drowsing. That professor fellow was talking about Mars, so I was half chosen and half...
Yes, yes, Mr. Wilmot, and then what happened?
Well, as I was saying, I was listening to the radio kind of halfway...
Yes, Mr. Wilmot, and then you saw something. And what did you hear?
A hissing sound like this.
What about the spooky truth book? With subjects range. Shadowy fraternal organizations to mind-controlling TV shows. Kids can't get enough of this series of short, scary children.
And Spooky Truth author K.L. Graves is joining us this morning to talk about his latest book, Night of the Brainwashed Babysitter. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Now, my kids just love these books. Tell us about this new one.
Well, sure, I'd love to. It picks up right at the end of the last book, where Henry's parents just left, and his babysitter, Kelly, starts acting creepy and a little strange.
Sounds scary.
Yes. If you scratch beneath the surface, Jim, you'll see that the reason Kelly turns evil is because her mind is being twisted by subliminal messages that she is receiving through the news.
Oh, I'm hooked already.
And the question is, will Henry be able to rescue his brother and sister from the secret society of Illuminati scumbags who are really pulling the strings?
No spoilers here.
Now, in just 4 years, you've put out 25 books. It came from Tower 7, Curse of the Chemtrails.
kind of like the 4th of July rocket.
Yes, then what?
I turned my head out the window and would have sworn I was asleep and dreaming.
Yes?
I seen a kind of greenish streak and then zingo. Something smacked the ground, knocked me clear out of my chair.
Well, were you frightened, Mr. Willis?
Well, I ain't quite sure. I reckon I was kind of riled.
Close enough, the spooky truth is everywhere. And once you see it, you can't stop seeing it. It's all around you. Everything's connected.
So what you're saying is that a lot of your stories are related to real life.
That's what makes them spooky.
Now, this stuff has really been catching on. Over 40 million copies sold. So many bestsellers out there.
I've been thrilled. Before this series, I was self-publishing pamphlets and handing them out on the train. Now I get emails from teachers and parents all the time telling me that my books are all their kids can talk about.
Oh, well, it's true. My son used to hate to read. Now he's holed up in the basement with these spooky truth books all day and night. Says he never watches TV, doesn't even want tap water anymore. He just loves reading so much.
You know, my message to kids is that pulling the curtain back on what the government doesn't want us to know can be fun.
Well, it is certainly working. We hear stories all the time of kids decorating their rooms with plots and characters from the stories. There's even a growing fan base, as you well know, on the internet who call themselves the Spooky Truthers, and they talk all day long about your storylines on their message boards.
Well, some fans have sent them some questions. Let's have a look.
Hey, my name's Aaron, and my question is, what is your favorite spooky truth book?
That's a tough question. I think I'd have to go with The Secret of the Bohemian Grove, which is about how the richest Republicans use a giant owl statue to pick the next president.
Wow.
Memorable prize you won playing a carnival game. One New Hampshire man won't soon forget the prize from his latest trip to the carnival, but only because of the price tag and the bizarre story that came out of it.
$2,600 on a carnival game, and all he has to show for it is this stuffed banana with dreadlocks.
Yes, Henry Grabone blew more than $2,500 on a carnival game in hopes of winning the grand prize, an Xbox Kinect, which has a price tag of roughly $100 at Microsoft's online store. Grabone was playing this game, Tubs of Fun, where the goal is to throw balls into a plastic tub. Grabone says he was repeatedly successful at the carnival, but each time the balls kept popping out of the buckets. His response, it's not possible that the game wasn't rigged.
Arizona.
Spooky truth, lots of gulags in the Southwest.
Look it up.
I was wondering, what advice do you have for someone who wants to be a writer?
Well, write what you know. And I always say, drop out of school. They're just filling your head with lies.
I like the books a lot. Sometimes I stay up the whole night reading. Is there really a president that tried to assassinate over 60 people?
President Clinton.
Whoa.
62 execution warrants.
Fox and Friends and HLN simply wonder, shouldn't Grabome have known better?
Aren't all the games there rigged?
Yeah, I'm not so sure the odds are in the favor.
There's one point every minute.
That if you're a good dad, you win that game for your kids.
Sure.
That they have on the Vegas casinos.
Despite feeling ripped off and being $300 in the hole, Grabome went home to grab some more cash, his life savings, to keep playing the game. But he lost it all. So why would he do that? Financial planners call it the sunk cost fallacy. People feel if they don't win the game, the money they've lost is wasted, even if they're wasting even more money by continuing to play. And Grabome sure sounds like a victim of that fallacy. The International Business Times quotes him as saying, "You just get caught up in the hole, I've got to win my money back." He even started playing double or nothing, causing him to lose money even faster. Grabome filed a police report and says he may sue the game operator. Aside from claiming the game was rigged, he also says Carnival employees manipulated him. Thank you.
right, you got the mind, you got energy, and you are the one to blame is how it is. Good people is how it is.
To take a serious look at what the administration discloses, both good and bad, which should be out there for public debate.
Republican Congressmember Mike Rogers of Michigan, the House Intelligence Committee chair, said it was not yet known who's behind the recent leaks, but that someone, quote, committed a crime that's having serious consequences to our national security.
For Americans to have due process, to face their accusers, to have the evidence against them be presented. And I feel like we crossed a very dangerous line in authorizing the killing of a U.S. citizen without access to that due process, without having been charged with a crime.
That statute under the Obama administration than all previous administrations combined just in the last 4 years. Double the number, in fact. You've had people who have exposed government deceit and waste and corruption and illegality being systematically prosecuted as criminals in very harsh ways, threatened with decades in prison, being prosecuted as spies essentially under espionage statutes. Whereas the people on whom they blew the whistles, the actual bad actors in the government, have been shielded and protected. And what this is designed to do is to send a message, as every investigative journalist in the United States will tell you, including ones who work for the most establishment newspapers,
to send a message to would-be sources and whistleblowers who want to advise the public about government wrongdoing that they better think twice because they will be severely punished if they do so.
One of our best journalists, Jonathan Landay of McClatchy, has turned up evidence from government documents that President Obama and his senior aides have not been telling the truth when they claim to have only deployed drones against known senior leaders of al-Qaeda and their allies. The headline above your column on Jonathan's reporting referred to the Obama administration's drone lies. Tough language.
The McClatchy article included language that the Obama administration at senior levels had misled the country and was deceitful, because what these documents showed was that oftentimes they were targeting very low-level people whose role in these militias were unknown. They had targeted, as a favor to the Pakistani government, various individuals who posed no threat to the United States, but who Pakistan thought had become extremists. And worst of all, the United States government has adopted what are called signature strikes, which is where, even by their own admission, they don't even know the identity of the people they're targeting, and they simply extinguish their lives without knowing who they are, but then justify it to the public by saying we're only targeting senior al-Qaeda leaders, and these leaked documents revealed how false those claims were. And again, it underscores how only leaks and whistleblowing, which the Obama administration is trying to criminalize harshly, is the way that we learn about what the government does.
Out of every four teenagers reports not having their brains fucked out on a day-to-day basis.
Did you know the 35% of high school girls report that they've only had sex with one or two partners a year, instead of having the living shit fucked out of them by any guy they see?
Did you know that only half of all 17-year-old males report fucking without a condom, even though it's really the only way to go?
There are thousands of American teenagers today who are unaware of the full benefits of fucking your brains out all day, every day.
It's a fact.
Well, parents and kids at home, you're lucky because K.L. Graves is going to give us a sneak peek of the new book he's working on right now called My Teacher is a Zombie When It Comes to Trusting the Media.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
To me, I was going to get all my money back. I was going to get an Xbox Kinect. And because I was keeping everybody's attention, they were still going to give me a banana. They lied to me. Well, at least they didn't lie about the banana.
Didn't think twice about the food, even though she had told us that there were food samples prepared with really high-powered marijuana, high THC marijuana. It's probably fair to say that over the last few years, I've become a pot reporter. In 2010, the marijuana marketplace was sort of exploding in California. You had people coming out of the shadows who had been growing or selling for years illegal, and all of a sudden they had websites, they were operating publicly. All of a sudden, this kind of seemed like a mainstream industry. At the same time, we were talking to confidential informants, trying to dig in on the dark side of the trade, talking to Mexicans who might have links to drug gangs across the border. You saw this sort of secretive world emerging, and you could shine a little bit of light on it. In Los Angeles, we came across a woman who had been an illegal pot dealer, but who's now really trying to be a businesswoman. She let us follow her as she was doing her thing, running a medical marijuana delivery service. She's very well organized, carries a small suitcase with her samples in it. She delivered to a teacher who was on lunch break in the back of a Starbucks parking lot. She went to a production company where she delivered to a film editor there. The sort of climax to our visit was these Sunday brunches she would have at her house in West LA. Men and women came with their kids in strollers, a lot of young professional types. There was music, football game on TV, food and desserts, and then in the rear cottage, there were bongs and joints and all sorts of samples. In her house, she would have a doctor who was available for consultation in a sort of side home office. People would come in, fill out their medical marijuana forms, spend a few minutes with the doctor, and they would get their recommendations. The woman would offer to supply these people with their now medical marijuana. It was all one-stop shopping. It was a brunch with pot. She had said that some of the desserts were laced with medical marijuana and some weren't, and I didn't really pay close attention to that. I was busy capturing this remarkable scene. Got them all wet, shaking what they mama gave you. So I ate the brownies. I was in a little bit of a hurry, had to catch my flight back to San Francisco. So I grabbed my gear, hopped in a cab, went straight to the airport, check-in and all that. And when I got to the terminal, you know, LAX is a rather large airport, I started getting this dreamlike feeling that I was like, I wasn't in the present universe.
Lauren was scared. She had never been called in for detention at her old school. She could hear Miss Casey's footsteps coming closer, and her heart started racing. She knew the Jews were building mass graves for the New World Order.
Otherwise average high schoolers haven't been taught about sucking every chance you get, pounding each other dry, and never ever pulling out.
Possible to win?
Yeah, let's just say they don't have the same rules that they have on the Vegas casinos.
Fox and Friends and HLN simply wonder, shouldn't Grabome have known better?
Aren't all the games there rigged?
Yeah, I'm
pretty
not
much.
So sure that
the odds are in the favor.
All I know every minute. That if you're a good dad, you win that game for your kids.
Sure. Play a rigged game, not possible to win.
Descendant of the lizards from the Draco constellation.
And I knew immediately that something had gone wrong. And it hits me. I am, like, totally stoned. I'm not going to get really stoned. It's just going to end up, oh my God. It's hitting me. And I'm going further and further and further into this other world. And then I started feeling these extreme sensations of anxiety. I wanted to get on my phone. I wanted to get back to San Francisco. So I tried to control my feelings, and I actually got into the airplane. The blinking lights, the white paint, the electronica music. I had never flown Virgin America before this trip. There was no one sitting on either side of me, and I kept looking out the window thinking, well, if I can just keep looking out the window, I'll be okay. And then I thought, but what if I'm not okay? What if I freak out mid-flight? And, you know, they have to alert Homeland Security. And think of the headlines. Pot reporter overdoses on his own medicine or something like that. I gotta get out of this plane. Got back into the terminal. and found an obscure spot and really literally crumpled up into a ball and tried to sleep, but it was just coming at me and coming at me. I just didn't know if I was going to come back from this place. Finally, I called my wife, and she told me to just stay where I was until I felt better. I was probably there for about 4 hours before I could even think about booking another flight. And they said, look, for our patients who use pot all the time, we tell them to take half a brownie or a quarter of a brownie and wait 2 hours and see what happens. I had eaten 2 marijuana brownies, high potency pot brownies. So I think, you know, in a funny way, that this experience got me to think a little bit harder about pot if I were a 16-year-old kid.
Okay, hey, this is Furious George. Going to sign off here with, they're in the background, the Hoda SA mix. Been playing super, super fun. Also, we had some stuff from the Sector 7G mixes, and check his stuff out. Also, going to line up some more of this weird Bauer stuff. And who knows what the theme has been tonight. I think it's relatively... tied to whistleblowers and how crazy our country happens to be at the moment. A little War of the Worlds in there. Stick around for more Micropower Radio. This is WCOMLP Chapel Carboro. Furious.
the agencies were directed to expand the scope of classified information they gave to the press. We know in some cases someone from a segment of the media was present in a classified setting. Recently, a group of intelligence officers, as I said before, has disclosed directly how many of the leaks over a period of years have made their jobs more difficult in their liaison relationships and their ability to interact with sources and assets around the world who are doing great things for their own country.
Are being done for political gain. Obviously, we don't need to know, and whether it's the newspaper or Hollywood, the sources and methods about the raid of Osama bin Laden. We do need to know about the policy behind the kill list and the assassination of Americans. I agree with Congress that the executive branch leaks that are being done right now are for political gain, and that's wrong. What I'm concerned about, though, is that we could end up with a really bad anti-leaks law that ends up chilling discussion and ends up being used primarily against whistleblowers.